And here we go. Snakes, rats, and goats. This is Talking About Survivor, Season 32, Episode 4. This is your host, Ryan Elder, and with me as always is...
That was a long is. You were hoping for something to happen after that is.
I was really teeing you up there.
Scott Chernoff. Yes, Scott Chernoff. At Scott Chernoff.
Thanks for joining me as always, Scott.
Thanks for joining me as always, so, Ryan.
I wish I could say that we subjected someone who'd never seen Survivor before to this episode, but unfortunately we were unable to do that.
We had a guest as of a couple hours ago, but things currently stand, we do not. That's what happens when you record podcasts at 10:30 p.m. on Thursday nights.
So maybe that guest did watch it.
And was just so... You're very fired up. So yeah. Someone like Max Dawson, you're not listening. I know you said you only listen when we have a guest.
Did you say that? I don't think he said
that. He told you that.
No, someone else told me that.
Oh, I thought you said Max said that.
No.
Okay, good. Max, then we'll get to hear you.
We'll see.
Be fired up.
Yeah.
Because Ryan is very fired up.
I mean, I was, you know. Now I'm just like, I don't know.
As of this morning,
I was fired up in a way that's like, this episode was such a bummer. But I rewatched it again, and I found the little nuggets of gold that were in the...
Hidden. There was gold hidden.
There's a couple.
Thar Hills.
Yeah, there's some gold, yeah.
So have you changed your opinion? Can I say that this morning, what you told me was that via an urgent message on my phone... That this was the worst episode in Survivor history. Do you stand by that statement?
I still kind of stand by that, yeah.
Kind of stand by.
It was not fun to watch, man. It was stressful and then upsetting and then, angering.
Well, I told you my big problem with it.
Yeah, and that's just one of many problems. What is that problem, Scott?
There was no strategy. For the whole hour.
There was very little strategy, if any at all. But I found one moment of strategy rewatching it.
What was that?
It's in the very beginning.
Okay.
They come back from... Brains Tribe comes back, and Peter's laying on the beach all by himself, and Debbie goes over, and she, you know, quite convinced...
He's laying on the floor like a child who's just been devastated.
No, he can't handle it. Debbie very convincingly says, you know, we wanted you to stay. We kept you around, you know. She's trying to connect with him. And that's like the kind of moment that someone who goes far in the game gets and someone who's meant to be seen as a sort of a strategic player gets. So I think last week's metamorphosis of Debbie, you know, turning into the strategic butterfly... I think that might be here to stay. We'll see, though.
Well, I noticed that they used your favorite Debbie moment in the previously on.
Oh yeah. Look.
What was said to her that prompted her to say, "How about that?"
I think it was Liz saying,
"I think we've got things, you know, pretty perfectly set up here."
It was Liz saying, "I really think losing that challenge was a blessing in disguise."
Mm-hmm. And she goes, "How about that?"
Yeah. I love that line.
Seems more like she's saying, like, "How about this jagoff right here?"
Well, that's the best part about it is that it's like so playing to the camera and to Liz at the same time. It's freaking genius, man.
Right.
Let me just say that Debbie was a real highlight of this episode. Thank God for Debbie, or this episode would have been just miserable.
I have a prediction. I believe that win or lose by the end of this season, Debbie will have topped Coach as your favorite character in Survivor history.
We'll see. It's going to be tough. I mean, she's almost going to have to play twice for that to happen. Coach is definitely my favorite character, not my favorite player, but, you know.
I said character.
Yeah. You know, you got to make that distinction.
I know. He's not your favorite player.
But I think, if Coach is the Dragon Slayer, then Debbie is...
I guess you would have to call me the mastermind.
Right?
I will say this. Well, one thing about Debbie, I agree she's been doing very well. But I do remember in episode one when she claimed that puzzles will lay down for her, like, so, lovers. So as soon as she walked up to that puzzle last night, I was like, okay, lay down like a lover. Here comes Debbie.
And then she totally tanked. Peter.
She was like, "Peter." She goes, "Peter, come."
Yeah. Man, oh, that just, I was going to say, like, does she tag out with her lovers too? Does she tag Peter in for when she's laying down a lover and she just goes, "Peter, come."
That puzzle laid down for Peter like a lover.
It sure did.
But not for her.
Like a turtle birthing an egg.
What was that about?
Jeff was on fire during that challenge. If only it had not been marred by what followed, but
the reward challenge.
Yeah, he had some great lines in that one.
Was that when they were like, oh yeah, when somebody came out of the sand crawl? Yeah.
He also had to
get the big body to get through that hole.
And they were just like full of great lines in that challenge. But all so quickly forgotten by what, you know.
I know. You'd think nothing could overshadow Jeff Probst shouting about taking a big body to get through that hole.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't want to be all negative and stuff because there were some things about this episode.
Well, I'll be negative. Can you hear that plane going over?
Sure, yeah, it's drowning.
Well, why don't we pause? Should we?
Did you call in the chopper, Scott?
Yeah, the chopper. That's Caleb flying overhead.
I do want to.
The chopper never landed. That's the weird part. The chopper is still. Some say you can still hear it flying over your house today with the spirit of the Beast Mode cowboy.
Well, let me say before we get too far into this, Scott, if you're starting to feel hot, you know, and you don't think you can go on, I just say this phrase and we'll, you know, we'll get medical over here. It is.
I'm cool, babe.
So say that and we'll be.
All right. I'm cool, babe. Okay. I'll be negative. I personally don't watch this show in order to watch people suffer and nearly die.
So
the strategy and, you know, the drama, not the drama of near death, but the drama of the characters and
the story
and their interactions,
they create. Yeah.
The social psychology that goes on, like all of that is fascinating to me. There's the comedy that sometimes occurs, and even the adventure and the cinematography is really cool. But I don't get any pleasure or joy out of watching these people be like in 120 degree heat, nearly keeling over dead.
Yeah. And the truth is, Caleb did almost die.
I know. When we were watching it, I said, well, and you know, he's probably like better 3 hours later.
He wouldn't have been if he went.
No, that's what I was thinking. You know, if he went back to the camp, he'd die. But all it takes is a few hours, some water, some air conditioning. No, I did read that he was in intensive care for 5 days.
And, 5 days in Cambodia. And he had
like a very long recovery at home.
Yeah. Severe renal failure. Part of his heart was, he says he used the word attacked. Part of his heart was attacked.
Keep in mind, we do know from Big Brother that Caleb has a tendency to embellish.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean,
I'm not saying he's embellishing this time.
No,
but
he probably is, but that's okay.
I know he said it took like 4 or 5 months for him to.
Yeah. I listened to his exit interview and it was brutal. I, you know, even if he's half right, even if he's just doubling his, it's still incredible, like what he went through.
How could that have happened, like in just that span of an hour?
You know, he was.
You're a medical professional,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It wasn't in the span of an hour. I think he was extremely dehydrated going into the challenge, but he has so much.
He's in such pride
and he's in such top physical shape that he was able to like get through it a lot, you know, like, look, he did the whole challenge and it wasn't until he had won the challenge or, you know, gotten second place that he finally like let all of that catch up
all
to
of,
him.
But all three of the people, I think there's something with the adrenaline in the brain.
Oh yeah, there has to be.
Because all three of the people didn't collapse until after they had finished.
I know. And what's crazy is with both Debbie and Sydney, they weren't even really doing anything while the other people on their team were rolling the skee ball, at least that we saw. Now, maybe they were running around fetching the balls, but I didn't see that.
They might have been.
I think they were just sitting in the sun, which is not good. I mean, you saw the Brain Tribe, like a couple of the guys in the Brain Tribe were creating shade for people. That's why Debbie was like huddled under Joe's body.
Yeah.
All I know is Joe's looking at me and I'm feeling like so unbelievably hot.
Well, I think she might have said that around the time she was basically sitting with her head like resting on Joe's penis.
By the way, that that clip was I missed it the first time I saw it, but friend of the show and regular listener Nina Stoddard called that one out on Twitter, so I pulled it.
Thank you, Nina Stoddard.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Thank you, Nina. And thank you, Joe, for letting Debbie take refuge in your crotch. It was, but interesting, I felt, is it possible that one of the reasons Debbie recovered the most quickly of the three of them is because they spent less time doing the challenge?
Yeah, and she got the full medical team on her, right?
Right, everybody was on her. Yeah. And it was, at the same time as what I'm complaining about, like, it was amazing, compelling television.
Yeah, and like
it was, I don't see it as the worst episode ever. It just isn't the type of episode I really want to see, but
yeah, there's two ways to look at it. I think.
I don't like, and anytime somebody is taken out of the game for a medical reason, because to me it throws off how the game would have played out in its purest form.
Yeah, I think there's two ways to look at it. The first way is that they did an amazing job creating, you know, handling it and taking care of it in a way that also created good TV. It was, good in quotes. It was, you know, compelling and couldn't.
Watching the medical team have to split into three and take care of three people at the same time was pretty fascinating.
Seeing
the whole crew and the. Yep. I'm almost sorry I deleted it right away because I wanted to go back and look at that crew again. Just because you never, I think there's one other time recently that I can recall where they showed like the boom mics and the camera crew and everything.
Yeah,
all the people there. It was pretty fascinating.
Yeah. Well, what do you have, the smallest TiVo on Earth? Why'd you delete it right away?
We always have like the smallest percentage left free.
You're like, because this shit off my TiVo.
You know, I have no time to watch anything. So we've got like great shows that we want to watch just built up, and then
I'm assuming you held up, bro, before you deleted it though on some.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
But like.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and we've got kids, and they've got shows.
Of course.
It fills up, man. It fills up.
I hear you, and I think the other way to look at it is that it's very likely
rotate shit out.
Production was incredibly negligent in this situation.
Well, that's, I mean, I know that Probst talked about that in Entertainment Weekly or something, and it was just the way it happened this time. It was the perfect storm, but it does seem like just ease up a little bit, guys.
The one thing that I noticed is when I watched the little YouTube video before the episode, they put out a YouTube video, like sort of walking through the challenge, promoing the challenge, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And for they use it using the Dream Team, which is the people who they hire to run through the challenge as a test.
Yes.
And in this case, while the Dream Team ran it, there were flags in the sand pointing out where the bags of balls were. So they tested it, but they gave the Dream Team like a cheat to find the bags, probably so they wouldn't waste an hour looking for the bags, which just put the flags in there for the regular contestants so that we don't have to deal with people dying.
That is not like, how are you really testing it then?
Exactly.
Cheats. That's weird.
I think that's negligence right there. And I can't, like, I, you know, a lot of people, you know, slap in the back of the medical crew, sure, and rightfully so, you know, like those doctors were amazing, but they shouldn't even have been needed.
Right. Well, yeah. And I think they said it was 121 degrees.
Yeah.
I read
that. I mean, that's not cool, guys.
Just
not
don't
cool.
Like, maybe it's better to do like a memory challenge or a
come on, do
a trivia quiz
or coconut chop or something, you know?
Coconut chop, sure. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, how about the one from Fiji where
like darts or something?
Yeah, where they had to throw like a spear, right? Like, give me that.
Yeah,
you know?
Stand in place and do something. How about get a Keith nail, you know, something where you got to just stand there and hold balls or get balls through a maze.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was not fun to watch, but it was interesting to see. Yeah, I just don't.
You know, it is some. I am happy that it exists in the sense that a lot of people, especially people who haven't seen the show, go, oh, well, you know, isn't it all just kind of fake anyways? Mm-hmm. And this is like the clearest evidence of all time that it's not fake. Why would they fake this?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, I'm sure Caleb is really glad that you're happy.
Yeah.
That it happened.
Exactly. Fair enough.
Can I just say, I have a couple of things to say about this. Number one, and I think this cannot be forgotten and should not be overlooked. These three people went down and Caleb went out of the game with severe medical issues for several months in order to win Salt and Pepper.
I know. It is insane, dude. Insane.
I mean,
it's not just, obviously it's not just Salt and Pepper in the sense that they're on TV. They're expected to give it their all.
On TV, they're competing.
Nobody
there's tribe
like
momentum.
A quitter, yeah. Nobody wants to look like a quitter.
Oh, I know all that.
But
I'm
yes,
saying,
on paper,
like,
they were playing for Salt and freaking Pepper.
I mean, given what happened to Caleb, if it's as severe as you're saying, like, it's not even worth doing that for immunity if we really want to be.
Yeah.
Put things in perspective, but I think most of us fans will agree.
What about beef
that
stew, though,
if it
Scott?
Was immunity, we could understand it. If it was beef stew, I might even understand it. Yeah, gotta have beef stew.
Yeah,
you know me; that's my favorite reward on Survivor. Yeah. But even that is more than Salt and Pepper. But I mean, Caleb went out over Salt and Pepper.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
That's what his tribe would have won, right? Because he was playing for second place.
They did win.
Right.
They did win the Salt and Pepper.
Well, at least they got it. We lost Caleb, but,
oh, my God.
So food is going to be so delicious.
There's a lot of things to talk about with regards specifically just to this challenge. You know, there's a couple things, a couple takeaways I have from watching it twice. The first thing is, come on with the commercial breaks. I know you watch it with TiVo, and the second time I watched it, I didn't have commercial breaks. But, okay, first commercial break, and it was actually the main title after 11 minutes.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. Like,
it was
cool.
Oh, my
God, it's only just beginning.
But don't do this to me.
That was the cold open?
Debbie's overheating. She's shaking on the ground. They're calling in medical, and then... Oh, commercial? Great. Like, that's so not cool.
Did you know going in that there were three people going down?
I did know there were three people going down because I watched a promo.
I don't watch promos.
Yeah,
that's
it's probably smart.
Mistake.
I also had an incredibly high, although I didn't know for sure, I suspected very, very strongly that it was Caleb who was medevaced.
I had a weird suspicion it was Caleb, but I think that was primarily based on the previews where I do watch the preview at the end of the episode. We saw that somebody got medevaced and that Ty was in tears, which I want to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But also,
Caleb's
now
edit.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Now we know why Caleb had that hero edit.
I know. I tweeted during this episode. I said, I tweeted a lot. I said, I want to live in the universe where Caleb stays in the game and he gets the heel edit he deserves, you know, like,
right.
Like when he comes back, and he will come back. In fact, I suspect he will come back within the next two seasons. Even.
I agree. I mean, they basically announced he's coming.
Yeah. They said
he's 100% better and he's hoping to come back.
And then they said they used the clip of him saying, I would love to play this game again.
Said playing this again is one of them things I would do.
Yeah.
That's one of them things. Okay.
Yeah. Well, Caleb is just like a gigantic, beefy version of Keith, right?
Yeah. Yes. But also, like, this was shot before Second Chance. And you know, he would have, if they aired it in order, would have been a shoo-in.
100% he would have been in the voting.
Would have been
a shoo-in. He might have won the voting over Joe. Even. Yeah. He's definitely coming back. There's reason, the big reason, you know, obviously he was medevaced and they thought, you know, horrible, cut short. I think CBS freaking loves this guy for one reason or another. They want him. They said to Jeff, we want you to put him on the show. Jeff was like, I don't know. And that's why you see Jeff saying to him when he's laying there getting medevaced, Jeff says, I'm really glad you were on the show, or something along those lines. Like, you know, Jeff's sort of admitting, even though I didn't want you on the show at first, like, you were good. And so,
he's great TV.
We knew as people who had watched Big Brother, and Jeff obviously didn't watch him on Big Brother, that Caleb is great TV, and he's exactly the kind of guy that Jeff loves.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, he's tailor-made for Jeff Probst.
Yeah, the guy who literally does never quits, is always, like, way ahead in the challenges when it's physical, you know? Gives 110% every time.
Yes, he does. I sounded like I had a big announcement to say, but I was going to say that I didn't see these promos, so I didn't know three people went down. Okay. I knew that somebody went down based on...
So you were like, no, Debbie!
So I was like, no, I was thinking of you. I was like, oh, poor Ryan. Can't catch a break this season.
Yeah, on the promos, they specifically showed Debbie and Sydney as people that were down, but they didn't show Caleb.
Oh.
So I knew there were three people because they sort of intimated in that promo. And I knew that one was Debbie and one was Sydney. So therefore I was like, okay, they wouldn't probably show me the people who got the person who got medevaced.
No, we didn't talk about Sydney, but she, like, that was all, even though before we knew that Caleb was going out, she was like the most heartbreaking because she broke down and cried for a minute.
Oh my God.
There,
Sydney,
I really was feeling for her.
I love Sydney so much. Like, she's on complete psychopaths. And
she's
weirdos,
playing great, I think.
And she's playing it perfectly. She could not have played it better. Like,
yeah, we've seen no Storm.
I know.
No and Rebecca. It's all Sydney.
That's great. Yeah, Sydney. Oh, man. She's one of my favorite players this season. There's so many people I love this season.
I think she's playing so perfectly, just letting those two guys run the show. And
unfortunately, she's so tight with them that it's going to be tough post-merge. We'll see. You know, we saw...
Well, if those three all can make it, we know there's a switch, but if those three all make it...
all targets.
If they all make it, though, we don't know, but if all three of them make it to the merge, they would be a very powerful alliance, and Sydney would be in a great position.
Yeah.
Because she'd be the third to go of the three of them.
I feel like they're not going to all three end up on the same tribe when we split into two next week. So whichever one ends up by themselves is going to be voted out.
They're
all three challenge threats.
They'd be a possible target, but they could also be a swing vote.
That's true. Like Kelly Remington from Worlds Apart.
Sure. Who doesn't remember Kelly Remington from Worlds
Apart? When they did the tribe switch, Kelly ended up as the only blue collar.
Right.
On the tribe, and then she was used as a swing vote for
and then a swing literally fell
off.
But so we don't know. I mean, it's always surprising when the tribes switch up, like who ends up with whom. Like, I don't know. Sometimes the people who are on tribe together use the opportunity to get rid of someone they don't like.
Yeah. Yeah. I also wanted to just quick add on to my point about commercials is that they had literally Jeff's words were, Caleb, are you still with us?
Mm-hmm.
No response. Fucking Glade commercial. Like, whatever, you know, like terrible.
We didn't know at that moment if maybe Caleb had died. they just kept the story under wraps for a year. This was shot a year ago.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. Like, I mean, yeah, okay, I know logically he doesn't die, but, like, it's still, like, come on, guys, stop, you know, sea-cresting me. I hate that when, and that's one thing Survivor usually doesn't do.
They don't usually do. Well, it was such a weird episode. The structure was weird. Tribal Council was like 20 seconds long.
Oh God.
You know, it was just,
this is why I'm actually some sort of part of me. Although, you know, I think it would have been entertaining to have a guest, and our guest that we were going to have was pretty great. And I was excited for that, but I really am sort of glad that we don't have a guest for this episode, if only because we didn't subject anyone. I can't imagine anyone watching Survivor for the first time watching this episode would go, yeah, I want to watch that show.
I don't know. They might be so like thinking like, so people almost die every week? This is crazy.
Three people I gotta almost die. And a woman gets mansplained to for 20 minutes. All right. Yeah, I'm on board. That sounds
great. Someone might want to watch that again.
Oh, God.
I mean, we can talk about the vote out later, but is there anything?
Honestly,
we haven't talked about Ty yet during that.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Well, there's one thing I wanted to say about a quote from a quote in Josh Wigler's interview with Caleb. I thought was amazing and super interesting. And,
this would be from parade.com.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, Wiggler, he is the best in the biz at these exit interviews. The text ones. It's Caleb says, but that was an emotional moment because that's when I knew I was done. In the helicopter, I really had no clue what I was doing.
You know who else is really good, by the way? Sorry, go
really? On. You're going to cut me off in the middle of this?
You might have to cut this. Redo this. I'm sorry. We'll redo that.
No, forget it.
I was lost in the Josh Wigler. I was going to say the other person who's really amazing is Gordon Holmes.
Yeah, Gordon's great.
But do your quote. I'm sorry.
In the helicopter, I really had no clue what I was doing. In the ambulance, though, I knew that I wasn't looking at Jeff. I'm not looking at Dr. Joe. I'm not looking at Ty standing above me trying to kiss me. I'm looking at a bunch of Cambodians, and I'm all alone.
Aw, that's sad.
Yeah. Like, imagine that. Like, he's out of it. Like, he just doesn't know what's going on. He said in the helicopter, he had one moment of waking up, feeling something on his chest that Dr. Joe was holding, and like grabbing for his necklace that his girlfriend gave him to make sure it was still there. And then he like passed out again. And then the next time he woke up, he was in the ambulance.
Yeah. So he didn't have, I can't believe there's nobody from the production there with him. Like
There had to have been, right? Like, it can't be. I'm sure there were a few Cambodian doctors, right?
But
there
he might have been embellishing.
Everyone gets
a
handler, right? He definitely had a handler.
I'm sure his handler went with him.
And I'm sure they feel really great that he said it was only a bunch of Cambodians.
Oh, Caleb. I'm a beast mode cowboy.
Oh, no. Are you Shut Up Tim now all of a sudden? You're going to be doing
Does he
that?
Do that song?
No, but he does a bunch of, you know, that's the kind of song he would do.
I know he does songs, but well, he can take that. Tim, if you're listening, that's a freebie for you. Yeah. Please, I'd rather you produce it. Take that and run with it.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else about this? Yeah,
I want to talk about Ty's like raw emotion at Caleb being taken away.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that's you know
Ty almost made me cry.
Yeah, that moment was intense. You know how this I watched on the repeat. This is a little sneak peek of my hold up, bro. But on the repeat, there's a moment where they're like, he's on the stretcher. They're taking him to the helicopter. And Jeff is like, hey, guys, hold up 1 second to let the beauty tribe like say goodbye to Caleb. Like, dude, he's on a stretcher. He's dying. He doesn't have 1 second.
Hold up. We need this.
Yeah, let's let Caleb get a little kiss in before we.
Let's let Ty go completely over the edge of tears.
Yeah, I meant Ty. Yeah.
Yeah. Ty was. Yeah. God bless him.
You know, Ty he loves all living creature, and Caleb's a living creature. So,
Caleb's definitely a living creature for him to love. But now what becomes of Ty? Like, that was quite a power duo. They could have had an alliance to the end, those two.
I think we got a hint at what's going to happen with Ty, because right after this, Ty
team up with the women and vote out.
Yeah, exactly. Right after this, Ty, well, you know, they're going to form two tribes first. Who knows what's going to happen there, but right after this, Ty says, you know, it was originally three boys, three girls. Now it's three girls and two boys. They can pick whoever they want. So, but I have the idol, right? To me, though, I think what you said is going to be the case. I don't think he's going to need that idol because I think that they're going to, you know, I think Nick's going to get rid of himself because nobody likes him. If he can't win over these people on this tribe that where everyone got along, he's certainly not going to be able to win over like Peter or Aubrey, you know, like.
But wait, can I just say like, okay, we know next week is some sort of switch. Now, you just said they're going to change into two tribes, but I'm thinking about it. There's an odd number. There's an odd number of people.
Yeah, they could go into.
I think there's 15. How many started? 18?
No, there's less than 15.
So there's 13 left.
Yeah.
So how are they going to divide?
Well, they can go into uneven tribes too, right? I mean, that they do that. They've done that before.
They've done that before, but they haven't done that in a long time.
So what if they go?
They have to. They were clearly not planning. They're planning on doing it at this point, but not planning on Caleb having been removed.
Yeah, I mean, they can't go to three.
So they would have gone. They would have had 14, so they could have gone to 2 7-person tribes.
They literally have to go to uneven tribes. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, there's no way mathematically.
Unless they do a 13-person tribe or a 13 1-person tribes.
What would be the difference between a tribe?
You're
of
right. That's literally exactly 13, the same, except for tribe. Possibly 13 1-person tribes would be a bunch of exile islands. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the difference would be, but
there is really no function.
If anybody out there listening can tell me the difference,
yeah,
I will take that.
All right. So, anything else about this challenge we want to get into?
I don't think I have anything more on that challenge.
I want to say that the buried balls in the sand.
Such luck.
It's too luck based for me. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I'd rather they be buried three times deeper, but marked where they're buried. So at least you need the physical skill to get down there.
Right.
Then just like luck. It's so frustrating when luck plays. I know luck is a gigantic part of Survivor.
Yeah.
100%. You cannot win the game without some amount of luck. In fact, probably a significant amount of luck. But when luck plays such a big part in the challenge itself, it's a little annoying to me. I guess, you know, the skee ball thing
is just for salt and pepper.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
It's not like it's for immunity or anything.
Oh my God. So
I mean, the reward challenges are just kind of like you could win every reward challenge, but lose every immunity challenge. You're not going to be doing well as a tribe.
Yeah. I mean, I always,
hello,
you know,
did I lose you?
No, I'm still here. Sorry, I was yawning. It's late.
Okay, good.
Reward challenges are
never... That speaks well of the podcast.
Hopefully our audience is also yawning. Reward challenges, you know, they're not my favorite. I don't need them unless, you know, they win a chance to see an Adam Sandler movie or something.
Right. I mean, I enjoy them, but I think I like the structure. And I, you know, they matter for momentum and they can have interesting aspects or interesting results, but ultimately they're not as impactful. They're not as important.
Agreed. All right. They're more interesting. So, you know, they're really interesting when the winner gets to pick people to join them.
Yes.
After the merge. That's when I like reward challenges.
That's when they start going nuts, or when you can happen upon a clue to an immunity idol or something like that.
That's great. Salt and pepper, just freaking give them salt and pepper. Who cares?
Or don't.
Or don't. Whatever.
Just don't have salt and pepper. Try that.
Yeah.
You know, the people on the Braun tribe like went through all that shit. They don't get anything.
I know. Jesus.
They don't even get salt and pepper.
They just get to go back to camp and fight.
Yeah.
Before we get into that, I want to point out that Debbie gets a huge segment specifically about her. And right after this challenge, they you know, Jeff talks to the beauty tribe before they go, but then we cut back and it's Debbie talking to Aubrey in the water. She says that line, you know.
All I know is Joe's looking at me and I'm feeling like so unbelievably hot.
She says that line, but then she also gets a huge confessional where she talks about she just wanted to make her daughters proud. She didn't want to embarrass herself in front of her daughters. She talks about her family a lot. She gets choked up. Are we seeing yet more evidence of a potential Debbie winner edit? She's like the only one who got strategic and personal stuff in this episode.
Every part of me wants to say yes. And every part of my experience watching the show says no. But
you want to say yes, but you're going to say no.
I'm going to say jury's still out, but yeah, most likely no. I mean, yeah, but I think she's definitely getting a stellar edit in terms of being a long-term player in this game.
Yeah, I got to imagine she's there right up until the rest of the beauty tribe votes her out, you know, like final five or something.
But she could pull it out and win it. I definitely consider her one of the many people who could win. Yeah,
I know it's tough.
There's more people right now that I could see winning than those that I can't.
You know,
speaking of those that I can't, also on the Brains tribe, I was going to talk a little bit about Peter at the beginning, but what were you about to say?
One of the things that I think is interesting is that it's very possible we're getting a Varner type edit where the pre-merge is edited so differently. And this is something with both Varner and with the last Blood versus Water, where we get really heavy edits on certain people pre-merge because they go out right away after the merge or right before the merge.
Talking about for Debbie?
Yeah, it's very possible that Debbie is like a post, like immediate post-merge boot, or that's what Jason and Kyle are getting because they're such a huge part of the pre-merge. Maybe they're not important post-merge. They've been editing these pre-merge players as
Jason
big
and Scott, you mean?
Yeah, Jason and Scott, yeah. Jason and Kyle are the same person.
They're two sides of the same bounty hunter.
Yeah, exactly. He's the one with the multiple personalities, as it turns out.
Bounty hunter. Dad.
Yeah. Survive. Someone who comforts Sydney while she's maybe dying.
That was very nice. Wait. Oh, I remember one more thing about that. I just want to talk about all the cold bottles of water and ice that ended up eventually finding their way to all of the contestants.
Yeah.
It's like the production at one point just said, I don't know if the production said screw it or the players said screw it. Yeah, but
they just went over to the cooler and grabbed some.
At that point, it was like anything goes, you know? And it was just like there is... Yeah. Ice cold water and blocks of ice right here, and we are having it, and they're not going to be able to stop us.
Yep.
Or the producers just said, let them have it because God forbid another one of them keels over.
Yeah, exactly.
At that point, they had to give them, so everybody's got cold water and ice.
Yeah. I mean, this season is tainted. Whoever wins doesn't deserve it now.
None of them deserve it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Peter, just backing up a little bit to the beginning, I thought was amazing that his take on the situation of Liz having gotten voted out was that now that they voted out Liz and they made this move, the tribe should be called the P-Brains because they have no strategy and no ability to win. And I'm thinking, like, what?
Yeah.
I mean... Do they really have no strategy, or is
you
just it they
got played,
just
dude? It's so
voted
insane,
out. Yeah, you and Liz were the only ones whose strategy was not working.
Yeah, it just goes to show you how like self-absorbed Peter is, that he comes back and he doesn't go like what so many people have done in the past. You guys got me. Good game. You did it. You know. Instead, he comes back and he's like, "These people are idiots."
Yeah, of
and
course.
I can't
You're
wait
to
flip.
Be
on
like.
Them. Ugh, man. Yeah, Peter is like becoming a very annoying player to me. I think I lost you.
I don't think. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Yeah, you were in and out for a minute there, but I just let it happen.
Well, that doesn't matter because the audience can hear me no matter what happens.
Oh, lucky them.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to our audience for that. You're forced to listen to Brian. Well, and we haven't heard from Joe, right? Other than saying that Debbie needs a doctor.
Yeah, Joe's this not episode, important to the season.
No, I guess not.
Because I gotta imagine they could have gotten some Rudy-esque stuff from him, right?
You never know. I don't know if it could be like a Cowboy Rick kind of situation.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Cowboy Rick, you just couldn't understand.
And they didn't use anything from him.
Because he couldn't understand it.
Saw. Yeah, I don't know. Is there any... I mean, there. I feel like not much happened on this episode other than the challenge, the reward challenge, and of course then on the...
Well, let's talk about
dumb
this.
Stuff with Alicia, but yeah. Was there anything to talk about with the immunity challenge?
Yeah, the Braun tribe threw it.
Do you think they did?
Well, I happen to know that they did, or at least that's what they're saying on Twitter. But if you watch, when Alicia's like, hey, you guys want to tag in? They just stand there.
Mm.
Like, they're letting Alicia do a puzzle? Like, right. If they wanted to win, that's not... And especially if she's like, do you guys want to tag in? Like, they wanted to lose.
So they're saying Scott and... What's his name? Jason are saying on Twitter that they threw it.
Well, Scott did at least. He said, mm-hmm. We want to get rid of Alicia because she knows about the idol and we don't want her spilling the beans if there's a merge or a swap. Which, sure, but what if she just spills the beans right there? She probably thought, well, you know, maybe I can go find an idol or maybe I can convince Sydney. And good for her. Like, from what we saw... Yeah, she was probably very annoying to live with, but I also...
Well, those guys were assholes.
Yeah, 100%. I also really appreciate that she was like, hell no, I'm not going to have tribal right now.
Well, yeah, that she definitely did the right thing. She definitely did the right thing there. I mean, true, she had like pretty much no chance of changing things, but there's always a chance that... She could change things, or even more likely that one of the others does something that freaks out or pisses off one of the other two, and they go, you know what? We got to get rid of Sydney. We got to get rid of Scott. I can't believe what he just said.
Yeah, if someone's going to say
that could happen.
Yeah, it's absurd to even ask her
the
question.
So she was smart.
Yeah, smart, but why even ask the question? It's offensive of Jeff to even ask the question.
Well.
It's like Jeff wanted to go home early. He's like, oh, this is getting really annoying. I just want to go home.
I know. He's like, do you want to do this? We've got a plenty for this episode. Really, we've got plenty for this episode.
It's offensive to me. And it's just more indicative of Jeff's sort of behavior towards women historically. He can be quite dismissive. And in this case, he was incredibly dismissive of her, you know, what if she had an idol? Is she going to pull it out right there on the beach? Like, it's crazy. Like, let her go back and at least try to stay in the game.
Right. Well, he probably knew she didn't have an idol.
That's true.
But, like, yeah, no, I mean, she absolutely did the right thing by saying no. It's kind of like when, remember, I've met this guy, very nice guy, but Bill Posley...
Right.
Voted along with his tribe to go to tribal council when they won a challenge that was specifically for the purpose of voting him out. And he seemed to sort of know it. I was like, well, if that's what you guys want.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah. I mean, that is, one of the crazy.
I don't know. Maybe he didn't know that's what they wanted. But.
Well, in this case.
Insane.
But. In this case. Everyone's saying, yeah, we're going to vote out Alicia. So, hey, Alicia, is that okay with you? You want to just take care of that now? Like, oh my God, so crazy. And then later on, Scott, says, we tried to get her to see what she was doing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, now those
privileged
guys.
Enough? Jesus, man. It was like, insane to me. Like, I'm sure she was annoying, but look, she's fighting for her life in the game, and you're going to sit there and try and convince her to shut up?
Well, two things are true. Number one, those guys are dicks. Number two, they're better at Survivor than she is. I'm sorry, you know, she was not good at the game. She was not cut out for the game. Even before, at the beginning of the episode, when she kept arguing and arguing with them about, like, whatever it was that she was pissed off about from the prior episode, suck it up. Don't keep. And she, at one point, she came up to him and said, "Look, I don't want to start any drama, just want to confront you."
You know? Yeah, look.
Or maybe she said in her confessional, "I didn't want to start any drama. I just wanted to confront him." I mean, she was way too confrontational.
Yeah, look,
and not willing to, like, play the role that, fair or not, she should have played if she wanted to stay in the game.
Yeah, I'm not an Alicia fan by any means, and I'm not even apologizing for her behavior.
No, you're a huge Alicia fan, and you are apologizing for her.
I think
your apology is not accepted.
I think it's just she was treated incredibly bad, and not just by Scott and Jason.
You think by Jeff as well?
I think by Jeff, absolutely. I resent the fact that he was like, "Let me be honest with you, Alicia, you're going home tonight." Like, also, does that just telegraph that she doesn't have an idol too? It's insane.
Right.
Like, if I'm Jason and Scott and Sydney sitting there going, "I wonder if she has an idol. I hope not." And Jeff is saying, "I got to be honest, you're going home tonight." Like, what? Okay. Yeah. Now I know she doesn't have an idol.
Well, I don't think they were thinking that.
I don't know. I just
you didn't say going home. You said getting voted out.
Apparently that tribal took 3 hours to shoot, by the way.
How is that possible?
Well, there's probably a lot of Scott and Jason telling Alicia what she's doing wrong with her life.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine there's a ton of that. And Alicia just sitting there smiling, because what else can she do?
Right. You know? Yeah, well, again, like I said, there was no strategy. Wait,
are you getting too hot, Scott? Do you need to cool down?
Yeah.
I'm cool, babe.
No, man. I'm cool, babe. There was no strategy for the whole episode.
Yeah, so frustrating.
And so it was as soon as they were going to tribal council, like, there was one moment where I thought, like, well, maybe they've made it so clear that she's going to be voted out that, you know, there will be a switcheroo. Mm-hmm. That was my first thought. Just like, well, based on my Survivor watching experience, you know, she's been highlighted as the one they say they want to vote out. Now let's see what happens.
Yeah.
But then I looked at how much longer there was left in the episode, and I was like, oh, there's only like 5 minutes left in this show.
I was really hoping, when we got to the immunity challenge.
Are we going straight to, and then they went straight to tribal council. There was no scenes in between the challenge and tribal council. So it was even more obvious, and it was just sort of like, let's just get this over with kind of a.
Yeah. I mean, apparently, Alicia said in her exit interview she tried to work on Sydney. You know, good for her. She also hunted for the idol a lot in that time. A second idol, which, sure, that's her only hope.
She tried. She had a lot of spunk and a lot of pluck. She just wasn't. She wasn't a bad person. She wasn't a mean person at all.
It's possible she was a bad person. She said it. Also said in her exit interview with Rob that early on, did you hear about this? Sydney had grabbed a bunch of the fruit off the boat and, like, shoved it in her pants or whatever. And then when they got there, Sydney was like, "Yeah, don't eat this fruit. It's gross. It's been in my pants." And Alicia got Scott and Jason to eat some of it, like, tricked them into eating some of it. And, like, took delight in that fact.
Ooh.
So
that's weird.
Yeah, she was very proud of this on her exit interview. So I'm not even going to say that I'm 100% sure she wasn't a bad person.
Right.
I'm really disappointed in production and the way that she was treated, and specifically Jeff. And I do not get Jeff's total boner for Jason this season. It bugs the shit out of me. Like, last week it was Jason yelling at Sydney on how to, like, what direction to move the ball on the board. And Jeff going, Jason, really getting in there and helping out. Like, what? He's just yelling left at her, right? And then this week, like, making such a big deal out of him helping Sydney, like, and then and then interviewing him afterwards and saying, like, you know, are you going to go vote out Sydney? Well, you know, what? How does that feel? You know, and it's just like, what is, I don't get this, like, Jeff's obsession with Jason. I think he thought, like, during the shoot that they were going to make Jason into another Russell or something. And that it doesn't pan out that way.
Well, is it possible that Jason does end up being, you know, an important player in the game? And this is just the way the show is edited, that he's shouting out similar stuff for a lot of different people and interviewing a lot of different people. But when it all gets boiled down, they're just showing those scenes.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he doesn't win, why are they showing us that shit? Like, it's just so, he's, the guy's a villain straight up. Like, he's not, like, people don't like him.
Well, he, that could, you could be arguing in favor of him being the winner then, because they did go out of their way to highlight anytime he does anything positive.
Yeah, they're really trying, aren't they? Yeah,
and he was really good with Sydney,
man.
Like, I would not be surprised if he and Sydney and
Scott are sitting there.
Scott,
the end,
go a long way.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, so what if it's final seven? It's Sydney, Scott, and Jason on one side, the three beauty girls on the other, and Debbie in the middle.
That would be hilarious.
I'd like to see the Debbie in the middle of anything.
Hi-yo!
Hi-yo!
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. Well, okay, so I got pretty upset there. You know,
look, you had a tough night.
Yeah, and you know, I
hello,
I'm not. Yeah, I don't think Alicia needs standing up for, because she, of the people on this show who have been treated poorly, Alicia actually really got out there and stood up for herself and called people out on their shit. So, you know, good for her.
Yeah.
But, man,
I mean, I don't think there are certainly far worse situations that people have endured on that show.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at Shireen, like the way she was treated by Will, it's just like way worse.
And what about the way that everybody seemed to just persecute Abby Maria? All she was doing was minding her own business, and she would just, they would start talking about her and plotting against her and her allies, and she thought they could,
she did appropriately stir things up, right?
Yes, she did what she had to do, and she would have won.
Is Pete Dr. Peter, is his respect for Pete Yerkowski making more sense now?
Oh, he's the one who liked Pete Yerkowski?
Yeah.
I guess it's making more sense in that they're both very full of themselves.
There you go.
He's giving Barack Obama a bad name. Like, how many people, certain percentage of the audience is tuning in and thinking that is the president? And they're very disappointed
some
in
non-zero
his
percentage
behavior.
Of
like, wow, that Barack Obama is really like, he was running the game. He's really full of himself.
It's like thinks he's president or something.
But he's good at puzzles.
That's true. Puzzles lay down for him. All right. Well, Scott, I feel like I maybe have said it all. What do you think? Should we get to our segments?
I think we have said it all. Let's get to them.
All right. Here's the first one.
Hold up.
All right, this is Hold Up, Bro. This is, what was the moment that you had to rewind and you said, Hold Up, Bro, I need to see that again?
Well, I already told you mine.
I told you mine.
It was seeing the production.
Yeah.
The crew and everything.
Oh, yeah. There are still images you can see of that, and it's pretty fascinating.
I will
look
into that.
There's like 100 people there. Mine was when Jeff waylaid a dying Caleb so that his tribe could squeeze his hand and tell them they loved him.
You watched that twice.
I just couldn't believe it.
I believed every second of it. The same thing when he told Terry Dietz, like, you have to get off this island now because your son is basically dying. But first,
yeah,
to go back, say goodbye to your tribe. have a moment with them and maybe make a speech, and then we'll hit the road.
I mean, I wonder what's going through Dr. Joe's head in that moment. Like when Jeff is like, hey, hang on one second. Let's.
Dr. Joe's like, all right, here it needs to be on that chopper.
Yeah.
That's my horrible Dr. Joe impression.
I can't do a good. I mean, Dr. Joe, what is he? Is he Australian?
I believe he's Australian. Right. I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And I can't do a good Australian accent.
I used to when I had been there. And so for a while I could do it. But
I lost it. There's a couple of friends of mine who are some comedians that I really want to have on the show because I don't think they've ever seen. Well, they do amazing Australian accents. So
yeah, what happened to those guys?
Well, you know, they're working on stuff. We'll get them on.
Jeez. Enough already.
Enough.
Supposed to be on a year ago.
I know.
I'm not joking.
No, we're going to get them on. All right. Anyways. All right,
let's move on.
Okay, yeah. Next segment. Here we go.
What's the time?
It's time to get ill.
What's the time?
It's time to get
ill regrets.
All right, this is ill regrets. Who is going to regret a choice they made or an action they took on the show tonight? Alicia is off limits.
You go ahead.
Production and Jeff, they're going to regret a lot about what happened in this episode. And I think it was already obvious in Second Chance when there was a lot of challenges that involved standing around.
Yes, and that took place in the same place, the same location.
Exactly.
And even one of those challenges ended with two people black.
Yeah, I mean, geez.
Although only one made the
They will not shoot in a place like that again.
Do you think that when Joe blacked out and then, you know, the story goes that Keith also blacked out.
Yeah.
It feels like they just made the choice. At the time, I thought they made the choice dramatically to not show Keith just because it was more dramatic to make it Joe's story.
Yeah.
But I also wonder if they thought they already knew because they had already shot this season.
Yeah, it would take a little bit of the...
Well, two people will take some of the impact out of next season. We have three.
That makes a ton of sense, yeah. Yeah, very good call. I think that's absolutely part of their decision there.
But you don't think Jeff will be regretting the way he treated Alicia?
I don't, unfortunately.
I think he tweeted
something about like regarding bullying. You know, this is something we're hoping to make into a teaching moment or something. And I'm just like, I really hope that he would. I wish that he would cop to being complicit in the bullying, but.
I don't think Jeff.
I know there's people that listen to this that definitely disagree with me on that, but I don't care.
Oh, that's good. That's the mark of a good podcaster. I don't think he's capable of feeling regret, Jeff. Yeah, Pope.
Definitely not.
I really
he's
don't.
He's certainly not going to, you know, put it out there. You know, he might feel regret when he's at home alone.
You know, he would not have.
Probably not. No. Is he ever home alone, do you think? Do you think Jeff ever has alone time?
I doubt it. Nah, he doesn't need it. I think that he should, but I've already heard him talking about this, and he's got a million defenses for why they didn't really do anything wrong.
Right. But my point is more about like the way they handled with the heat, and especially with the... making the contestants sit in the sun digging in the sand for an hour in 120 degree heat. I think they learned their lesson. And how do you learn your lesson if you don't have ill regrets, right?
Well, you know, this is really unrelated, but I'm going to also throw in that I heard a rumor about this season that is not a spoiler at all. But I heard that there is a person named Julia in the cast.
There is, Scott, believe it or not.
I was just looking at the cast photos to decide if there was anybody else besides production that should have regrets.
Both Julia and Nick are getting heavily under-edited.
Yeah. Actually, I don't think any of the women on that beauty tribe had a confessional this week, did they?
Yes, they did. At least one of them, probably Anna, I think, talked about Caleb.
About Caleb, okay. Yeah,
I think it was just Anna, though.
That barely counts.
Yeah. I could be wrong, though. I'd have to go back and look.
Well,
I'm not going to do. I don't want to watch this episode again.
I think I'll agree with you on who. Well, you know what? Who I'm going to say? I agree with you that production should have a lot of ill regrets, as we say. Mm-hmm. I think within the show, within the players, and this person you did not say was off limits, I have to choose Caleb for destroying his body and health over salt and
God
pepper.
Damn it.
That is something I would be regretting if I were.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But it's just like, remember when he sat out that challenge on Big Brother? He just refused to participate in the challenge. Well, and he was making some kind of moral point at the time.
No, it was to try to get Frankie to lose the Battle of the Block so that he would be up on the block.
But I think he was partly doing. I think he was partly making.
Oh yeah, because he was upset with Frankie for one reason or another. Yeah.
Yeah, you were just less than honest. So
yeah. Fair enough.
Protest. Well, I'm just saying that he should have sat this one out.
Yeah, for real.
His ill regret should be not.
If only Frankie had been there, right?
If only Frankie Grande had been there to
this is the first time his words have been spoken ever in the history of the world. If only Frankie Grande was on my TV screen more.
Or if only somebody from his beauty tribe had pissed him off enough to make him sit out the challenge, he would still be with us today.
If only.
He's dead, right?
Yeah, or close to it. I mean, you know, we're going to see him again. Don't worry.
Sure.
I'll be back. If you're a Caleb fan, don't you worry.
Next year. Do you think that they'll bring back, like, I wonder what the gimmick will be.
If he'll be part of it. There's rumors about season 34 involving returning players, but I don't know that any of them have been confirmed yet. So
what type of rumors?
Just that season 34 has returning players, but honestly, they haven't started shooting yet, so I don't even know that those returning players have been chosen.
Right. Well, I wonder if it would be like him and Joe and maybe Terry Dietz, and they would spin it in like a Philippines type thing.
There's a
ton
of weird things involving past winners hanging out with each other in weird ways, and like Earl Instagrammed a picture of his, like, he was working on a beard and he talked about how he's like getting Survivor ready or something like that. So, you know, some like,
wow, there's Earl some,
yeah, I
would
know.
Be amazing.
Oh my God.
What if it's like winners versus losers?
So that's the thing. Some people think it's like a legends versus winners season or something like that.
Don't even, you're making me too.
I know.
Too exciting.
But that is complete conjecture. That there's no evidence to support that. Right. There's just no name, actual names.
Thinking at this point. Yeah. Well, Caleb wouldn't be on that season.
I think they could argue he's on the legend season.
No, he can't be on the he's not a legend.
I agree, but they want to put him on a season, and shoehorn him in there as a legend. Look not how they edited him, though.
You can't be a legend if you're only on four episodes.
I agree. Look, okay, fine. I'm just saying they put Alicia on the Braun tribe. They'll do whatever the hell they want.
Oh, yeah. How about the fact that we finally learned why Alicia was on the Braun tribe? The worst reason ever. You're on the Braun tribe not because you actually are brawny, but because you won't take any lip from anyone.
Oh,
what? That is... How about that starting next week, I guess we will actually have to learn the tribe names because they will not be Brains, Brawn, and Beauty anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I think the merge tribe name maybe got spoiled or something. I don't know. I don't look for it.
Well, I already hope that it's like when they used to combine their names it's like Brawny or Broody.
Oh, God.
Brainotti. Brainotti, I think.
Brady? Brainty?
It'll be something like that.
Yeah. Oh, God. It'll be a Tolo.
You Bray Bra.
Tolo. Go Tolo. That's what it'll be.
I don't want to know any of this.
All right. Let's get to our final segment here.
We only like it if it's loud. We only like it if it's loud. Go!
I can get loud too. What the f?
Hello to me. Hello. You did.
All right. This is getting loud. Who stood out for you in this episode in a good way?
Well, you know, Caleb is in the mix for that. He was the hero of the season.
Yeah, I was going to say Alicia, but I don't know if it was a good way that she stood out. Like, she didn't play the game well. I appreciated that she fought to the bitter end and, like, stood up for herself and didn't let them treat her, like, didn't give up.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. And in that way, she terrible. Stood out, but she wasn't a good game player.
No, she was a likable person for somebody who's probably really annoying. For me, it's Sydney.
Yeah, Sydney, man.
I thought she just played pitch perfect the way she positioned herself with those two jerkwads that she's on a tribe with. And after she recovered from collapsing, she was able to just lay there and not get involved in any of that drama.
You guys are cramping my recuperation time. That was great. I love Sydney. I was just when I was watching her, like, again for the second time, like, you know, struggle out in the heat and stuff, and she's crying, and I was like, man, Sydney is, like, quickly becoming one of my favorite characters, favorite players on the show. I love Sydney. Like, I never thought I would like her this much during our preseason. But I have to give it to the only person who, like, actually had strategy this episode, and that's,
I guess you would have to call me the mastermind.
Nice. She always stands out for
you. That's true.
Well, I secondarily will give it to Joe's crotch. That really stood out for me in relation to Debbie. But, I mean, did she do that much this week, Debbie?
No. I'm just saying that moment with Peter on the beach where she's, like, very convincingly said, like, we really wanted to keep you around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's good damage control. Yeah. Although I don't think it's going to work because Peter
I thought it was me.
I can't wait to flip on these people.
Is that what he said?
Basically, I mean, he didn't say those words, but he's like, I can't wait to vote him out one by one.
Yeah, that's not going to, I don't think he's going to get the chance to do that.
I don't think so either. I think he's a huge post-merge target.
I feel like he is not long for the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like he could be one of those, he could easily be one of the people that, and I think that this would have been Alicia had this been the case, but one of the people who ends up on a tribe with a bunch of his old tribe mates, and those old tribe mates go, hey, we want to get rid of Peter. Let's do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do know what you mean.
And it could even be a challenge throw to make it happen. Like how in Worlds Apart, Mike threw the challenge to save Kelly on the other tribe.
My God, how many dumb things did Mike do?
I know.
How did he win that game?
By winning every single immunity challenge.
Oh, yeah, that's how.
I mean, you could say, like, getting rid of Joe when he had the chance.
I do want to see him back on a winner's season.
Yeah, I would like to see him. I think Mike gets creamed by any respectable player at all.
Well, I can't wait. I can't wait to see how it plays out.
If there is some sort of winter-themed season, obviously Sandra has to play again, and that will be the best. Oh, my God.
It will be the best, but I'm kind of, like, afraid because I don't think it's possible that she could. I think it's possible, but I don't think it's probable that she could win for a third time. And I just would hate to see her.
She's got to make it to the merge.
Average tarnished.
Yeah.
Just the way, like, right now, her average,
even if she plays
position in the game is one. Anything less than one.
But keep in mind, if she plays again, even if she goes first, her average is still better than literally everyone else.
Well, her average won't be better if she goes out first.
Right.
Her average is as good as it could possibly be right now.
It's bound still going to be very good.
It'll still be very good, but it's bound
Look,
to go
Look, we got to see her play again.
I would love to see her play again, but I'm satisfied with what I've seen.
I think she's an easy pre-merge boot, but after the merge, it's very hard to justify getting rid of her.
I could never justify getting rid of her. I'd keep her forever.
Well, I'd keep her to the Final Four. There's no way I'm bringing her to the end.
I just mean I love her.
Right. Fair enough. All right. Well,
well
Scott,
we'll have to leave that speculation for another day. We'll see if that happens.
Anytime we start talking about Sandra, it probably means we've said it all, right?
We've said it all.
I don't know about that.
Ryan, thank you for another delightful podcast and a wonderful selection of clips and sound bites.
I'm cool, babe.
Very cool, babe. Wonderful, Debbie.
Yes,
quotes we're gonna
Debbie's the only person who could get away with calling Jeff babe, in my opinion.
While she's collapsed in a heap on the ground.
Yeah. I ship Debbie and Jeff. They're about the same age, right?
Probably, yeah. That would be a great relationship.
Full of mutual respect.
yes. A lot of mutual respect
there. I disagree with that.
And threesomes between Debbie, Joseph Del Campo, and Jeff.
That is hot.
Yes.
All I know is Joe's looking at me, and I'm feeling like so unbelievably hot.
Oh, boy. All right, Ryan.
Yes,
you said it all.
We did.
And you say it all on Twitter at Ryan Elner Music.
Yep.
True or false?
That's true. And everyone can find you on Twitter at Scott Chernoff.
That is also true. Please leave us some feedback on
rate us on
site.
iTunes. It's been a while since we begged people to do that, right?
Have we had any recent ratings on iTunes?
I don't know. I haven't looked in a while, but I will look, and especially look if people
right
do
now.
It. If people rate us and review us, that's how we, stay relevant in the world of podcasting. So we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, please. I mean, come on. It's the least you can do. You get this for free. I mean, come on.
Yeah, we don't even make you sit through NatureBox ads.
We do get paid by the star. Or leave a feedback on our website, even if it's...
paid by the star. I was like, what star?
But you even if it's constructive criticism. All right, let's see if we have any recent ratings or reviews.
Oh, we're going to do this live, huh?
Well,
this always goes well whenever we like.
No, we're not, because I don't think we do. Oh, wait, there's one from February 22nd, 2016.
That's recent. I haven't heard of this one. What does it say?
Oh, boy. Who was our guest that week?
That was the
I think it was when JD, right?
Yeah.
Because listen to this one. 5 stars.
Okay.
So thank you.
Good start.
This is from SurvivorFan88. SurvivorFan88 says, great podcast, 5 stars. That's the headline.
Okay.
Which, so I love it already.
Yep, I'm on board.
Love you guys, but please do something about the dogs barking in the background. it's somewhat distracting.
Oh, okay. Well,
That was JD's dog, I think. So we've taken care of that problem. It was either
JD's neighbor's dogs, because he sits outside.
Sits outside to do our podcast.
I know.
That's
what,
the way
what
he
a
rolls.
Life. What a life.
I'm not going to stop him. So I think that's the only recent one I see here. The rest are all from 2015. So they're from, I guess, last season.
All right, well, we need some more new ones.
Yeah, please. We love that. If you heard anything in the background that we need to be made aware of.
Yes, please point out any background noise.
Yes, thank you. All right.
All right, Scott.
We'll see you next week.
Yep. Talk to you soon.
We'll see you next week on Snakes,
Rats,
and Goats.
The tribe has spoken. Now I'm going to put out your little lamp with my lamp stopper.